Please turn with me to Psalm 119. Psalm 119. As we read in the article a few moments ago, the author indicated that everyone says they want peace. And yet, if everyone wants peace, why don't we have peace? And as, again, the article indicated, everyone wants peace on their own terms. And that certainly is true among nations, as we think of peace among nations as opposed to war. And there certainly are many wars going on around the globe tonight because everyone wants peace, but they want peace on their terms. This past week, it was Holocaust Remembrance Day. I don't know if you heard anything about it in the media, because most of the major media outlets said nothing about it, or very little, if at all. The motto of Holocaust Remembrance Day is never again. As you look at the anti-Semitism arising around the world today and arising in our own country today, that motto seems to ring rather hollow. Begin to realize that it could very easily happen again. When our own nation cares more about what Iran thinks than what Israel thinks, we're in trouble. A country that has declared and has never recanted their desire to wipe Israel off the map, to destroy Israel as a nation. They've never recanted that, and yet we are in peace negotiations with them, we're in trouble. Everyone wants peace on their own terms. That's not only true among nations, it's also true within our own souls. Everyone wants inner peace. Everyone wants peace within their soul, but we want it on our own terms. We need to recognize that peace on our own terms within our own souls is unattainable. The only way we can have peace within our own souls is on God's terms. And we're going to look at some verses tonight that tell us what God's terms are and His promise of peace within our own souls on His terms. Let's bow in prayer. Guide us, Father, this evening as we would consider Your words concerning peace. Not so much peace within our world, but peace within our souls. Help us to recognize, Father, that to go our own way, to pursue peace on our own terms, is unattainable. But You have promised peace to those whose minds are stayed upon You and trusting in You. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. The first verse I'd like to look at is in Psalm 119, verse 165. Psalm 119, verse 165. You don't use those numbers very often when you talk about chapters and verses in the Bible. Psalm 119 is the longest chapter in the Bible and meant the most verses. It's a familiar verse. You know it. Many of you can quote it. You've known it since you were a child if you were brought up in church. Psalm 119, verse 165. Great peace have they who love Your law, and nothing shall offend them. Great peace have they who love Your law, nothing shall offend them. Or perhaps more literally, nothing shall cause them to stumble. Now in this context, and we just look at those 8 verses in which this verse is found, beginning with verse 161, I'm going to read down through those verses and just notice what is said about David has said about his love for God's word, his love for God's law, and in his obedience to that law, and you see the context in which he makes this statement about great peace. Notice it in verse 161, "Princes have persecuted me without a cause, but my heart stands in awe of your word. I rejoice at your word as one that finds great spoil. I hate and abhor lying, but your law do I love. Seven times a day do I praise you because of your righteous ordinances. Great peace of they who love your law. Nothing shall offend them. Lord, I have hoped for your salvation and done your commandments. My soul has kept your testimonies, and I love them exceedingly. I have kept your precepts and your testimonies, for all my ways are before you." In every verse, he talks about either loving God's word or loving God's law, and then or else keeping God's word or keeping God's law. In verse 161, "My heart stands in awe of your word." 162, "I rejoice in your word." 163, I love your word. 164, I praise your word. 165, I love your word. 166, I've done your commandments. I've done your word. I've been obedient. 167, I love your word exceedingly. 168, I've kept your word and your testimonies. In the middle of that context of love for God's word and keeping God's word, he says, "Great peace have they who love your word." Peace within our own souls begins with a love for God's word, a love for God's word that will lead us to obedience to God's word. In the context, love for God's word and obedience to God's word goes hand in hand, and it's in that context that he speaks of this great peace that we can indeed have. And it says, as we love his word and have this great peace, nothing shall cause us to stumble. And we stumble many times because we are seeking peace. We don't have it in our lives. And there's chaos and there's confusion because we've been disobedient, because we haven't loved his word. There's chaos and so we just continue to stumble because we seek other means of peace. We think this will give us peace, this will give us peace, this will give us peace. And so we go down that path and it causes us to stumble. But when we have peace, because we've loved God's word and we've been obedient to God's word, then we're not going to stumble. We already have the peace that we're seeking, so we're not going to seek it in other ways and stumble as we seek peace in other ways. Just go back one page or maybe two in your Bible to Psalm 119 and verse 11. Speaks very similarly. Again, familiar verse. "Your word have I hidden in mine heart, that I might not sin against you. Your word have I treasured in my heart." David's talking again about treasuring God's word, loving God's word, rejoicing in God's word, and as I rejoice in God's word, as I treasure God's word, I'm not going to sin against him. And so it goes together. We have a love for God's word and we treasure his word and we are obedient to his word and we have peace, and therefore we're not going to seek peace in other ways that will cause us to stumble. The end result of loving God's word and treasuring God's word is obedience, which produces peace in our lives. Go to Isaiah, and we're going to be in Isaiah for most of tonight. But Isaiah chapter 26, that passage we read earlier. Of course, this is speaking of Israel, restored Israel, as Christ does come again and establish his kingdom. But he speaks here in verse 3 again, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusts in thee." A steadfast mind trusting in God will result in peace. Perfect peace. Peace, peace, peace is in the Hebrew. Perfect peace. Complete peace. As we have a steadfast mind trusting in God, there's peace. Notice verse 8. Yea, in the way of your judgments, O Lord, have we waited for you. The desire of our soul is to your name and to the remembrance of you. The desire of our soul. That goes along with that thought there in verse 3 of a mind that is steadfast upon the Lord and trusting in Him. Our whole desire is for Him. Verse 9, with my soul have I desired you in the night. Yea, with my spirit within me will I seek you early. What's the number one desire in your life? You know, we desire many things, and not all desires are bad, but what's the number one desire? Is your number one desire possessions? Is your number one desire a relationship with someone? Is your number one desire prestige? Is your number one desire a better position at work? And you'll do anything and everything for that desire to be fulfilled. And if any of those desires have precedence over our desire for God, there will be no peace. Our desire for God must have priority in our lives. It must have the preeminence as we have a desire for Him and have a trust in Him and a steadfast mind upon Him. There is perfect peace. Not just peace that's temporary. Not just peace that's fleeting. It's here today and gone tomorrow. But a perfect peace. A peace that completely satisfies. We sang earlier, as the deer pants after the water brooks. Taken from Psalms. Psalm 42. As the deer pants after the water brooks, so my soul pants after you, O God. Is that our heart's desire? As we pant after Him, as we desire Him, first and foremost. You don't need to turn to it, but James chapter 4, verse 1, from where come wars and fightings among you? Come they not here, even of your lust that war in your members? The word lust there is simply the word desires. The desires that war within our members. And because it's warring within ourselves, it comes out in fightings with one another. But it comes down to desire. What's our greatest desire? Is it God? Or is it things? Is it position? Is it money? Is it wealth? What's our greatest desire? And if our desire is not first and foremost God, then we've got desires warring within us, vying for our attention. And it creates chaos and confusion within us. It's a war going on within us. And it certainly will manifest itself in our relationships with others. It comes down to our desires often. You know, Galatians chapter 5 also talks about our desires. It says the flesh lusts against the spirit and the spirit against the flesh. Again, that word lust is simply the word desire. Our flesh desires against the spirit, and the spirit desires against the flesh. In other words, the flesh has different desires than the Spirit of God within us. And as our flesh has its desires, warring against the desires of the Spirit within us, there is confusion, and there's chaos, and there's a troubled heart rather than peace. Within that context of Galatians 5, it talks then about the fruit of the Spirit. As we surrender to the Spirit, as God becomes our priority, as He becomes our desire, as we trust in Him, as we are steadfast upon Him, the Spirit of God within us produces its fruit. And what's the fruit of the Spirit? Love, joy, peace. There is peace, but it comes only when God is the priority of our desires, and we trust Him with a steadfast mind. Back there in Isaiah 26, again, verse 12 says, Lord, you will ordain peace for us. the one whose mind is stayed upon Him and steadfast upon Him and trusting Him, and the one whose heart's desire is for Him and His glory, God will ordain peace. That's His promise. He'll ordain peace for you. Look at Isaiah chapter 48. Again, speaking to Israel, but certainly applicable. Isaiah 48 and verse 17. Thus says the Lord, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, I am the Lord your God who teach you to profit, who leads you by the way that you should go. Oh, that you had hearkened to my commandments. Then your peace would have been like a river, and your righteousness like the waves of the sea. God says to Israel, if you'd have just listened to me, if you'd have just paid attention to me, if you would have just hearkened to my commandments, if you would have just obeyed me, your peace would have been like a river. A river is just a constant flow of water. Your peace would have been just a constant flow in your soul. That peace of God would have just been a constant flow within your soul if you just would have listened to me, if you'd have just hearkened unto me, if you'd have just followed me. Your peace would have been like a river. Your righteousness like the waves of the sea. The waves of the sea. You know, you can go to a lake, and sometimes on a calm day, I mean, it's just, you know, it's just like glass. It just is calm. But you go to the ocean is never completely calm. Always waves coming in, sometimes maybe gently, and I believe that's the picture here, gentle waves of the sea. Gentle waves of peace, constant flow of peace like a river, gentle waves of peace and righteousness. That's for those who have hearkened unto Him. Again, going back to Psalm 119, those who love His law. And you know, we mentioned that, loving His word, but David specifically says he loves His law. And here it speaks of His commandments. You know, we usually think of a law, and we don't normally think of law and love in the same sentence. How many of you love going 55? I don't. I want to go 65. And if the speed limit's 65, I want to go 75. I don't love that law. David says, I love your law. Because David understood that what God had commanded was what was best for him. God only had His best interest in mind. And He has only our best interest in mind. And the law that He gives, the commandments that He gives, is for our good. And David understood that, and he said, I understand that it's for my good, and therefore I love your law. And God says here to Isaiah in chapter 48, if you would have just listened to my commandments, if you would have paid attention, if you would have hearkened unto them, if you would love my law, peace would have been like a river through your soul. Like the gentle waves of the sea, constantly waves of peace within your soul. But notice in verse 22, there is no peace, saith the Lord, to the wicked. Disobedience to God's law, disobedience to God's commands, those who do not love His law, those who are not trusting Him, those who don't believe that God has their best interest in mind, they just don't trust Him, there's no peace to the wicked. Those who choose to go their own way, those who seek peace on their own terms, will never find peace. There's no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. And go to chapter 57 of Isaiah. Isaiah 57, we'll begin with verse 15. He speaks here of the humility and the contrite spirit that is necessary. And it's, again, talking about Israel and their future restoration, and how they will, one day, the nation of Israel will humble themselves before God and will have a contrite spirit before Him. And that's what he's talking about, verse 15. For thus says the high and lofty one who inhabits eternity, whose name is holy, I dwell in the high and holy place with him also who is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. For I will not contend forever, neither will I be always angry, for the spirit should fail before me and the souls which I have made. For the iniquity of his covetousness was I angry and smote him. I hid myself and was angry, and he went on backsliding in the way of his heart. He's talking about Israel here, and he says, Israel just backslid. They turned against me, but now he's saying Israel's going to come back in humility and with a contrite spirit. And as they come back to God with a humility and a contrite spirit, he says, I have seen his ways and will heal him. I will lead him also and restore comforts unto him and to his mourners, and I'll create the fruit of the lips, peace, peace to him that is far off and to him that is near, saith the Lord, and I will heal him. Peace to the one who humbles themselves before God with a contrite spirit and a contrite heart. Those who have backslidden, those who have disobeyed, those who were wicked and had no peace, God says, come to me with humility, come to me with a contrite spirit, and I will give you peace. But verse 20, the wicked are like the troubled sea, when it cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt. There is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. Those who disobey God's word, do not love his word, do not treasure his word, those who do not hearken to his commandments, those who seek peace on their own terms, he says it's going to be like the troubled sea, constantly casting up mire and dirt. It's interesting that in chapter 48 he talks about the peace of the one who has hearkened unto the Lord, and that it would be like the waves of the sea, those gentle waves of the sea, just a constant wave of peace and that constant flow of peace like a river. But here, using the same terminology of the sea, but now it's a troubled sea. We've all been to the beach when there's perhaps a storm brewing. And the waves are crashing in, and as you see those waves, it's just bringing up all kinds of dirt and mire and crud. And he says, that's what it's like for those who disobey me, those who seek peace on their own terms. Just a constant bringing in of mire and dirt and crud and confusion, a troubled heart, no peace, not to the wicked. Would you go to John chapter 15 as we conclude? John chapter 15. You recognize John 15 as the parable of the vine and the vine dresser. Christ says, I am the vine and my Father is the vine dresser. And then he goes on and speaks of how we as branches need to be attached to the vine. Verse 1 of John 15, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that bears not fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he purges it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now you are clean through the words which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can you, except you abide in me. We must abide or remain in Christ if we're going to be a branch that bears fruit. And the fruit being spoken of here, I think, is basically the fruit of the Spirit that we talked about there in Galatians chapter 5. And part of that fruit of the Spirit is that peace. Only as we are attached to the vine is there going to be peace. Now, the vine dresser has done everything he can for us to produce fruit. He's given us all things that pertain to life and godliness, Peter tells us. He's cultivated the soil. He's done everything he can for us to bear fruit. The vine is the perfect vine. There's no problem in the vine as far as bearing fruit. If there's no fruit, the problem is in the branch. The vine dresser and the vine have done everything they possibly can to produce fruit. If there's no fruit, if there's no peace, the problem is in the branch. Why is it that we want to break ourselves away from the vine and attach to another vine? That's what we do when we seek peace in some other way. If I could just have this job, if I could just have this much money, if I could just have this possession, if I could just have this, if I could just have that, then I'll have peace. And so we go chasing after peace in some other way, and we detach ourselves from the vine and we hook ourselves up to some other vine, expecting to have the fruit of peace. And there is no peace, saith my God to the wicked. Those who detach themselves from the vine will have no peace. The fruit of peace comes only as we are attached to the vine, which is Jesus Christ. Only Christ can produce peace. We'll never have peace on our own terms. Some of you are old enough to remember a song. You're not going to admit it because it's a... not only because you're old enough to remember, but you would never admit that there was a time in your life that you weren't spiritual and that you listened to such songs. But remember the song, "I Can't Get No Satisfaction"? Aha, you admit it. It was written in 1965. "I Can't Get No Satisfaction." Apparently he can't get no good English either, but that's beside the point. Have you ever really paid attention to those words? This is the world. "I can't get no satisfaction." This is how it starts. "I can't get no satisfaction. I can't get no satisfaction because I try and I try and I try and I try. I can't get no satisfaction." And then it goes on and lists some ways in which she tried to get satisfaction. And you know how the song ends? "I can't get no satisfaction, no satisfaction, no satisfaction, no satisfaction." Christ said, "I've come to give peace. Not as the world gives, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled." The world is hopeless. I can't get no satisfaction. I try and I try and I try and I try, and I can't get no satisfaction. On our own terms, we'll never get it. Only as we love His Word, which leads to obedience to His Word, and we hearken unto His Word, and in our desires for Him and for Him alone, and we're attached to the vine, and we're not satisfied with detaching ourselves and putting ourselves on another vine as we seek peace on our own terms. Because we know that only as our minds are stayed upon Him steadfastly and we trust in Him, though life can get very difficult sometimes, and though life can become very hard sometimes, we trust Him. We say, "I know there's peace in Him and no one else. No place else, in nothing else. And right now in my life, perhaps it seems like there's not much peace, but I'm gonna trust Him. My desire is for Him. And I know He will ordain peace for me." Let's bow in prayer. Father, we thank You so much for Your promise of peace. Perfect peace, whose mind is stayed upon You because he trusts in You. Great peace for those who love Your law. Pray, Father, that we would not seek peace on our own terms, but only as we are attached to the vine of Jesus Christ. In His name we pray. Shall we stand? I pray, Father, that as others see peace within our souls, that they'll desire that peace as well, that they will see that our peace comes from our attachment to Jesus Christ, and that we'd be a witness and a testimony of Your salvation and amazing grace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Good evening. May God bless you.